meeting. It's fine.
Okay, it's 7:01 p.m. I will call this meeting of the Cooperstown Central School District Board of Education to order. And if you just hold on a second, we have, attendees. Thank you very much for being here. We have one member of the public who is here in person. And we'll start with our public comments. As usual, we, by policy, have 30 minutes of public comments, but we try to keep people to speak 3 minutes or less. And if we start hearing the same comments again and again, we'll ask for one summary comment on behalf of that particular issue to be logged in. So we'll start with the people who made it all the way here. And we'll start from the front row, because I assume that you're here not just to observe, but you're here to comment. Okay, so hold on just a second. Let me turn this around. I apologize for people at home. You can see our fairly empty. So Bruce, go ahead. If you can just name relationship to the district and your comment.
Okay, I'm Bruce Miller. I have a daughter that's a senior this year. My son who graduated 2 years ago. And my wife who works. And I'm here tonight to, I sent an email. I'm sure many of you probably got it if you read it or not. I'm just here tonight to put on the record that I'm disappointed. I know that this has been a very difficult year and there's a lot of issues with sports in general and school in general this year. And there is a lot of work that is involved, a ton of work. I'm also a teacher in Edmonton. And I also see the issues from the other side because I'm also the union president of the Edmonton faculty. I talked to a lot of presidents in the local area and in the Mohawk Valley as well. And I've been seeing all the issues dealing with sports from the coaches to the finances to the space that's available to the conditions of the fields. And I'm not here to put blame on anyone. I'm just here to say I'm disappointed that someone didn't step up and champion the fall two sports season and say, this is gonna be hard. Let's figure out a way to do it. And I know that as the board, you can only act on what's put in front of you. I understand how that process works as well. I know I got a response from Tim, which I appreciate, and I understand the process that there was a committee in place that discussed these issues and looked at everything that they did. I also know as board members, you can enter the conversation and push an idea if it's something you feel strong about. We all know it's been so difficult for the kids. And as an educator, I've seen a tremendous difference in the kids that started to play sports, started to play basketball, which is all we offer at our school. And the excitement of the kids who are now practicing for knowing that they may never play a game on a field given upstate New York, March and April.
Okay. Thank you. You're certainly welcome to stay, although if you do leave, it's not a big deal. you can log on, just don't log on and drive at the same time. As I cautioned to everyone, this is a period of comment. It's not a period of discussion. It's just a matter for us, an opportunity for us to hear you. Thank you. And I'll extend that opportunity to anyone of the 21 attendees who are on. We have a hand raised from Veronica Precorni. If we can, let's see, promote her to speak. Hold on just a second. There you go. Veronica, if you can unmute and offer your public comment. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Veronica Precorni, and I am a parent of an elementary school student. I would like to know if the school will be willing to rent the gym or other available space at the elementary school to run an after-school program. This program can be similar to the one run in the past by the YMCA. The time frame will be 2:30 to 5 p.m. There are parents that need after school care so they can work. We as a community believe we need to help each other, especially in this time where there is no available place for the kids to be. Some of the parents cannot leave work to take the kids to a childcare facility, and there is nothing available around Cooperstown for now. Our children need a safe place to play and do homework. We can also suggest using ResourceMe, that is a tutoring program that works with the Angel Network to help provide specific tutoring. If the school is willing to rent the space for a fee, we can contact the YMCA, the Clark Sports Center, ResourceMe, or Brookwood, and see how this is run in a safe way. This childcare will have a cost the same way that the YMCA was run years ago. But we are fortunate to have the Angel Network in our community who help families that cannot afford specific needs like this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your public comment. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? We have Morgan Sullivan. Just hold on just a second. I'm just asking if you're
asking.
And if you are not speaking,
can you hear me?
Hold on just a second, Morgan. Okay. Morgan, go ahead.
My name is Morgan Sullivan, and I'm the parent of two elementary school students in the district. And I recently contacted you and the board to give you the survey that some parents and I had created to determine the need for after-school care in the community. And I just wanted to share the results of those survey after approximately 5 days. In those 5 days, we have had 56 people respond. Of those 56 people, 40 of them are on the four-day-a-week schedule. 9 are 100% remote. 5 are homeschooling because of COVID. Of those, the number of students under the age of 18 in the home exceeds 60 students. The number of students 14 to 19 in the home exceeds, exceeds 16 students. So we're talking about approximately 60 students here represented by these families. Since March of 2020, during the time that the school shut down, approximately 65% of the adults in the household of the district were forced to change their hours at work due to COVID-related childcare arrangements. Since that same time, approximately 20% of the household has had to leave their job due to COVID-related childcare arrangements. People in the district that currently need childcare in order to maintain employment are 19 families or 19 individuals still looking, actively looking. There are 11 individuals that are looking for childcare because they would like time to work on their personal development. There are 14 families that require childcare so that they can work from their home distraction free. And the final question asks, would you send your child to an after school program until 5 p.m. if there was one available, knowing your children would continue to wear masks and socially distance? 27 individuals, so these are individuals, families, multiple children, indicated that yes, they would send their children there. 4 individuals stated that they could, but they couldn't afford it. And some of the other problems or concerns that people had were largely based on having kids who were under school age care that also required care, or the fact that Brookwood is available for care, but there's no busing currently to them. So I just wanted to share the results of the survey with you to make sure that we were heard and the problems in the community were addressed, piggybacking off of Veronica, because this is a huge need in the community right now. Parents are struggling.
Great. Thank you, Morgan. Anyone else who would like to raise their virtual hand or otherwise leave no? Seeing none, we will move on with the regular agenda. On to administrative matters, the superintendent's report.
Good evening, everyone. To the side, my virtual audience. I have several items to cover in today's superintendent's report, so I'll just start. At the last board meeting, it was announced that there were some considerations for the return to school for grades 9 through 12. We are currently in discussions and have been in discussions with the interim superintendent, myself, Anne, and staff. We are continuing to work through all of the logistics with this, and the goal is to bring grades 9 through 12 back 4 days a week following our spring break. The final plan will be presented to the curriculum committee next week, and we'll share the plan with parents next week and make final recommendations to the board at the March 31st meeting. Some of the issues that we are still in discussions about, there have been discussions about bringing students back in two waves, grades 11 and 12 first, and then the following week, grades 9 through 10. Based on some staff feedback, there has been a request, would we consider bringing all grades back at the same time? So that's the latest wrinkle to talk through from an administrative standpoint. Anne and Matt Murphy, our facilities director, have been working at identifying other locations to be used. We do have approximately 3 classrooms that may need to move for the size and number of students that would be coming back, and they have been working on identifying those locations and measuring out and moving extra furniture out so that we can get more student desks in. We also have been looking at the lunchroom situation and how to go about that. I did share at the last meeting, and I will share within this context, there has been extensive discussion both on our weekly meetings with the health department and the weekly meetings with the other superintendents, 3 feet versus 6 feet. The requirements currently read 6 feet or a mask. Our current plan reads 6 feet and a mask. So we need to take that into consideration here at Cooperstown. There are some schools that are working to reduce the 6 feet. They are doing that on their own. There are other school districts that are waiting for the health department to say, yes, 3 feet is okay. Our local health department has told us that is not coming from them until it comes from the state health department, regardless of what's happening in some other county health departments. So those are some of the pieces that are playing into the decision and how to do it, but it is the goal of our high school to be back after spring break. Yes.
Did I hear correctly that I think New York State is looking to have all students back full time by April 28th?
I would need to look at that. There have been so many emails that have come across my desk. That is not one that has come across from the New York State Department of Education, unless it came after I left to feed my family this evening. But there are some states that have mandated students to return, and those mandates are throughout. So it could be happening as we speak.
I thought that came out of the governor, whether
yes.
that was a goal or a et cetera, I don't know.
Right.
And, I think you answered the question where you addressed our local health department. What is our local health department? Are they fixed on 6 feet and a mask?
The local health department has currently been saying 6 feet and a mask.
Okay.
And they are very hesitant to say anything different than that.
Okay.
So that's where we currently are. And I do know that other counties very close to here have made other adjustments to the 6 feet versus 3 feet, but that has not happened.
Can I ask too,
yes.
The measurements that you're doing now and the idea of maybe taking out some more furniture or moving classrooms around, are those at the 6 feet?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything that we are planning for is at 6 feet, because if we can do it at 6 feet, we can certainly do it at 3 feet. So that would be a gift if we got news that we could move to 3 feet.
Thank you, Tony and Gillian.
Yeah.
For those playing along at home.
Yes.
Wendy Kuber?
I do see that there are some school districts across New York State and local officials that are saying they can do it, but they're getting like the little plastic barriers, which then they can comply with the 3 feet. So I think that's the caveat. They have to actually purchase a lot of these little plastic dividers.
They correct. There are some that are moving to the 3 feet with the plastic dividers, but that has not been a mandate that if you go to the 3 feet, you need to. The very important piece our health department is saying is if you do choose to go to 3 feet, they recommend a plastic divider, but they are not recommending the plastic dividers that you see that most schools have purchased, which are on the desk. They are recommending the plastic dividers that go from floor and up. So that is something that we have definitely talked about, but would not want to do that across the board because of the expense that is associated with those plastic dividers. But if in the event we aren't able to accommodate at 6 feet in certain areas, do we need to make a purchase and a recommendation for those dividers for one location? And regardless of 6 feet, 3 feet, mask, no mask, in the cafeteria, when masks come off, you do have to be at the 6 feet regardless. So the 3 feet does not help in the cafeteria and identification of locations for meals.
And then if the 3 feet in some fashion comes into play, does that wouldn't be for every class, but it would be for the ones that would otherwise not be able to accommodate?
Correct. We would not do that across the board. That would not be a recommendation across the board. And quite frankly, if it was that we could get the class in at 5 feet, we would come to you and say, in classroom A, we can't accommodate at 6 feet, but we can accommodate at 5 feet with masks. But right now, from every indication that I have heard, we have identified additional spaces that we can relocate those classrooms to. We're just making final adjustments. And I know that there is furniture and equipment that does have to be moved out in order to do that. And it is my understanding from speaking with Mr. Murphy that we do not need another pod at this time to accommodate the storage of that furniture, but that we have some locations that we can continue to use. Yes.
I just want to say thank you for persisting with this, everyone who's involved, including Mr. Murphy and the principals, because I think it's just absolutely essential that we get
yep.
the kids back. 9 to 12 is absolutely as soon as we can, so thank you.
Correct. And that is the feeling the staff would like from everything that I've heard from Ms. Merritt, from Ann. Everybody would like to see the students back in the school building. And I know our students would like to be back. So that is the return to school for grades 9 through 12. The next item that I have to talk about is an update from the Board of Regents. And this is somewhat complicated, so I'll take it slow. And I will refer to my notes frequently. So the Board of Regents met on March 15th, and the following actions were taken during the Board of Regents meeting. We are still waiting, so there's two scenarios I'm gonna cover here. We have still not heard if New York State's request for a waiver to the US Department of Education has been granted. So if the waiver is granted, the state's elementary and intermediate level assessments and all of its June and August regents will be canceled. But that is if and only if the waiver is granted, and it has not been granted at this time. If the waiver is not granted, or we do not receive word that it's granted prior to the scheduled test administration dates, New York State has said we will administer only the Regents exams required under ESSA. And I talked about this at our last meeting, and those would be English Language Arts, Algebra 1, Earth Science, and Living Environment exams. And they would be done during the June administration. The August 2021 exams are canceled, okay? Only session one of grades 3 through 8 assessments and math and English language arts would be required, which is a shift from the standard practice assessments, which is administered in 2 sessions typically. And only the written test components of the grade 4 and 8 science tests will be held. The performance assessments will not. You can summarize that easily. You've earned a degree. They also have agreed to uncouple state assessments from the ESSA accountability measures. So they will, these now assessments for this administration will only be used to measure student learning, okay? So that's kind of where we are in the testing realm. Yes.
If all the August, tell you, I'm not sure. I thought Regents was a New York State thing, and now I'm hearing federal and ESSA, but let me ask the question. If there's no August exam, then a student that does not pass in June does not have a chance then to get that before the end of the year. And how might that affect that student's authority to graduate?
Hold on, because they've talked a little bit about when there is an assessment available. And just to clarify, you are correct. Regents is unique to New York. ESSA requirements are the federal standards that all states have to adhere to, but the way New York worked with the federal government, they used the Regents exams to meet the federal requirements. So there are some exemption eligibility requirements that have been amended to allow students who have not met the standards for the course of study as locally determined to have an exemption from the exam requirements. To qualify for the exemption to the diploma requirements, the students can meet one of the following criteria. The student is currently enrolled in a course of study culminating in a Regents exam, and by the end of 2021 or the 2021 summer session, will have earned credit in such a course. So if there isn't an exam, they're still gonna earn the credit in the course. The student, because this doesn't just affect the August students, it also affects all of the June graduates in those Regents courses in which the Regents exam is not being administered. If the student was previously enrolled in a course culminating in credits and has achieved the course credit and has not passed the associated Regents but was intending to take the test in June or August, they can get the credit and move on. And students in grade 7 or 8 is enrolled in a course of study culminating in taking a Regents exam, this could happen with like algebra, and has met the standards assessed in the provided coursework. They're also extending the exemption eligibility for pathway assessments, alternative assessments, technical assessments. So all of those assessments have had some extension. Mastery and honors flexibility. There were amendments that will allow flexibility in the calculation for mastery and honors endorsements, where student grades can be substituted for an exam scores in cases where the Regents exams were not administered. So those Regents being eliminated will not preclude a student from qualifying for an endorsement on their diploma. And I think that's an important acknowledgement. Okay, the science laboratory experience. You wouldn't think that this would be so complicated. We should just not have these assessments. But in order to, these were amended so that a student may still be eligible to take that science Regents assessment and examination, even if they are unable to meet the 1,200 minute science lab experience because of COVID-19. And they have expanded it to allow students to continue to meet the lab requirements through a combination of hands-on and virtual experiences. The regulations have been amended to exempt students from any unfinished requirements for the career development and occupational studies commencement credential, provided that the student has otherwise demonstrated mastery and credit. So I think that covers all of the assessments information. Yes.
Does this apply to AP classes as well?
No, my understanding, and I will verify this, but my understanding is the AP assessments are still being administered. And those AP assessments for here at Cooperstown are arranged for all of the ones that are done paper and pencil. Students will be going to the Meadows to take those, so it will be uninterrupted area. For those AP courses that have the assessment offered online or through technology, they are going to be offered here because we want to have our technology staff available in the event that there are any technology issues. And staff have already made accommodations and thought about how they can close off a wing and section off an area so that it remains quiet for those students.
Are all of the schools going to the Meadows?
I don't know the answer to that. It's my understanding that this is an arrangement that has just been made for our Cooperstown students right at this time, but I could be wrong.
Too many rooms in that building.
It's just Cooperstown. We make arrangements for our students only.
Yeah.
At least that's past practice.
Yep. And that was my understanding for this year, too. Correct. Any other questions on assessments? I'm sure there'll be more to come at next meeting.
When yes. are the 3 to 8 and science assessments supposed to happen?
I'll have to check those dates. Spring sports update. Spring sports begin April 19th. We'll be offering here at Cooperstown softball, track and field, golf, tennis, and baseball at all levels, The spring coaching letters of intent were due today. It's not 11:59, we may still get more. Mr. Spruill and I, who is our athletic coordinator, will review the letters received. We will update the personnel committee on what we have received in response to those. I can share with you the packet in response is thick to opportunities. Appointment recommendations will be presented at the March 31st board meeting. The other thing that's really important to note that's new information is that the New York State Public High School Athletic Association, I will get that name eventually, their guidance has indicated that student athletes will be allowed to bring two spectators to an event. This is good news. It also is difficult news. So we here at Cooperstown are still working on how we can make that happen. And I have spoken, this was a big conversation among other superintendents. We do have some that have already started doing that for some of their games. The concern that was raised is how do we effectively monitor that without being spectator police, but also not jeopardize Cooperstown's ability to continue to participate in the athletic competitions. And the concern that has been raised is that where our fields are, there are multiple access points. So for checking tickets that are issued to students, how does one go about that? How does one assure that masks are still on? How does one assure that there are only two spectators? So these are all issues that we are currently grappling with here. I can share that one of my colleagues, they shut off all entrances to their field with staff positioned and had one point of entry, and they checked the ticket admissions and pieces. They also allowed the visiting team to bring their parents. The way they did that was that it wasn't just two spectators, it was that you could bring your parents. So these are things that we continue to work on, but we do recognize that we have families that would like to be able to come and participate and watch our students.
Could it be as easy as issuing a sticker?
Well, that's
each child to give to.
Yes. It could be very easy. We were thinking of passes, and if they don't come back, then those are the two people that get to come. The issue is how do we handle every other access point and people, and maybe we don't. And these are the things that we have to say here. Maybe we put up rope and say, here's where the school field is, here's where the entrance is, here's where the spectators. We could also, one thing that we've talked about, if there's 10 people on a team, do we go and put circles at 6 feet distance, and family A is in a circle here, family B is in a circle here. And when those circles are filled, we are done with our spectators. There's lots of variations. It's just finding the one that feels right for Cooperstown. So those are the things that we're grappling with. We absolutely want to see the spectators at the games. So, recruitment update. I'm really pleased to say, as I shared, we have three interviews that are going on. The school counselor interviews were held Friday, March 12th, two candidates were forwarded to my attention for second interviews. I interviewed one today, and I will be interviewing the second candidate on Friday. I would like to say it was announced at the last meeting that a member from the Board of Education would be participating in our interview panels. That did happen. Ms. Birch participated. The feedback that I have received from our administration, our school principals, and from Ms. Birch is that it went very smoothly. And I look forward to seeing that happen. And we have Ms. Ainsworth has volunteered to participate in our interviews on Friday for the math teacher. And then the following Friday is the art teacher. And I'm still waiting to hear on final commitment from Ms. Spencer if she'll be able to help with our art teacher interviews. So that's very exciting that we have that going on in place. I did just want to highlight for everyone out there that we do have Spirit Week that is coming up March 29th through April 1st. There are themes throughout the week for students to participate in. The notices that have gone out have been very clear that while they can dress in different things to come in, they still need to adhere to our dress code. And I'm excited to see it happen throughout Cooperstown.
Can I just interrupt one thing? Because dress code is often a difficult issue for people in this district, that we have updated and revised the dress code accordingly when we had an issue several years ago. So anyone who's wondering what the dress code is, now they can apply for a cop, their own copy if they'd like it.
Okay, great. Thank you for that historic piece. There are two other issues that I have wanted to add. Senior activities, I just wanted to share. I brought up prom and graduation. Yes, this prom has been the other really big topic of discussion on the health department calls and the superintendent calls. Cooperstown is well poised for our senior activities and have made plans for graduation and a prom and a breakfast. Many school districts are making plans for graduation, proms, and various activities. There is no clear-cut guidance for school activities. So for prom, the guidance that people are using is where that event location is occurring. And those guidelines, because for here, it is planned for the Otisaga, those guidelines require testing before entry, so students will need to undergo testing. There will be dancing restrictions. There will be all, it is very complicated, but that is what the Otisaga has to adhere to for the help, for their operation. I have met with the senior advisor. I have met with Anne. I have impressed upon that we have an obligation to make sure that we do not jeopardize the Otisaga's ability to continue to do business, so that we need to consider how all of these things will be impacted. The conversation really emphasized that we had on the call this week, you can dance with members of your family or members of your party. Now, you got to remember, these guidelines were not written for schools. They were written for large venues that may have multiple parties going on at multiple times. So the health department, again, was asked, well, do you think you can weigh in? And they said, we are not giving guidance on school proms until we hear something official from the state level. So these, you know, we are poised to do this. We are under the 100 person capacity. What the decision has been is that it will be the senior class only, no dates, no guests, because then we go over the capacity limits and then we get into more of the 6 feet. The dancing restrictions are very interesting if you read them. You need to have 36 between, you're supposed to box out 6 foot squares. It's intense. Because of the increase in numbers, the senior breakfast now, it does appear that they will be able to do it as one whole senior breakfast as opposed to two shifts. And graduation is still scheduled and on schedule to be at the Fenimore Art Museum. Again, there has been no specific guidance given that is for schools, and I'm not holding my breath waiting for that. I think we're gonna have to make some decisions as a school district. Do we support and agree that the Otisaga has put in parameters and health safety parameters for participation, and then share with our families and our parents that this is what the requirements are of the venue? I have already had, well, do we really have to test? Well, if we want to use the Otisaga, yes, students are going to need to be tested. So there's those kinds of pieces in play. So just to put it out there. And the last thing is, we did receive some public comment about after school childcare. I did want to acknowledge that in the last 24 hours, I have received several emails about after school childcare and the difficulties within the community at large as to having a And for each of those individuals that have contacted me directly, and I'm now saying it to the larger community so that people know that I have received these, I have emailed everyone that I am currently investigating the issues that have been presented and have asked for time, i.e. through a week, to get some information on that. So I did just want to share that. And I think that's everything I have for the superintendent's update. Any questions? Yes.
So this is what I would focus on, because I think we relate to a very specific written guidance that covers everything. You may be waiting a very long time and it gets a list a lot. So
right.
I would just say, you know, focus on what you can do.
Yep.
Get a plan B, a plan C. And be very transparent. If part of the attending is they have to get tested, that's no different than what we're finding.
Yep.
Like if for football games and other spectator events across other states. So
you
think if they know what you can do and that you're planning, would go a long way.
Yes, and that was one of the things we talked about, that as these get a little bit solider, we're going to send out communication, and that at this date, this is what we can offer. And this is what the requirements, if changes occur, we'll continue to modify those changes. And as I did say, so far we've gotten a lot of support. There are people very eager to see our students have these experiences and these traditions, and we want to be able to support that. And we're very fortunate that we have venues that are able to accommodate us to do that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Tim, could you repeat whatever question we're asking so that people can hear what you're responding to?
Yes. Yes, and that will go for all the committee reports and such. So I've been trying to, I will make sure that the questions get repeated either in the answer or as a prelude to the answer. So the exchange that you just heard was just between Wendy Kuber and our superintendent about the guidance and needing to draw a line somewhere at some point to say this is the reality that we have to deal with, and this is what we're going with. So yep. Thank you. Any other questions? Matt Sherman.
So if the spring coaches are going to be presented to us on the 31st, are they going to be allowed right the next day or the next time to start practicing, or at least getting kids on in gyms or outside at that point?
So the question is about the timing of when the spring sports season begins.
Right. They normally be right about now starting their. I know that we're overlapping seasons, but I think the opportunity to get these, you know, the next batch of kids involved in sports as soon as possible is important. And not if we approve whoever the coach is going to be on the 31st, if we have to wait a week, 10 days to have that their opportunity to start practicing or whatever. I'd like to see them try to get on the fields as soon as they can.
I would like to see that too, but I'm going to have to get back to you because it may be the window that has been set in this bizarre year of when practices can start. And then we also have to look at our space configurations and do that. But absolutely, if we're allowed to do it, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to do that as long as we have the space.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we're going to go into the meat of our regular board agenda here, starting off with the minutes. So I will make a motion, be it resolved, the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby approve the regular meeting minutes of March 3rd, 2021 as presented. Do I have a second? Second from Gillian Spencer. Any discussion or questions? Lots of head shaking no around the forum. And believe me, we're going to get better at this for those of you playing along at home. I'll keep you apprised of how the votes go, and you can always check the minutes later. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. On to Budget and Finance Committee report.
Budget and Finance Committee met.
Hold on just 1 second. Gillian, do you have the ability to turn it toward Tony? Turn your screen.
I am not in the Zoom meeting.
You're not in the Zoom meeting. Okay.
Sorry.
Hold on a second. We're going to get a computer in front of Tony so that people can go along and I don't have to repeat exactly what Tony says.
Just unmute him. Or do you want him to be visible?
I can't unmute someone. There you go.
Okay, after all that, I'm not going to say I have no report. We met, I believe, on the 9th, and two major topics. I won't repeat everything that Amy and Sarah said about the details of the budget. You heard all that. I will bring up that there is a change in the tax. Why is the word slipping out of my head? Property tax.
Star.
The STAR program, and it's two pieces to that. One is that any new property owner has no choice but to do the direct rebate from the state, and their assessment and taxation will be the full assessment. Existing property owners have the choice, and they will have to make the choice either to do the way they have been or to go to the direct payment from the state. And if they go to the direct payment from the state, they will actually get a slightly higher incentive payment than if they stay with the old method of having their assessment reduced. And that's it. Everything else was in the budget details. And we heard all that. So that's my report.
Okay. Any questions for Tony? Seeing none, I'll move on to make the motions for the treasurers and warrants and claims. Be it resolved, the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby accept the monthly treasurer's reports for the period of January 1st through 31st, 2021, as prepared by Amy Kuchenberger, Business Administrator. Do we have a second?
Second
from Tony Scalisi. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. On to the warrants and claims auditor report. I'll make a motion, be it resolved that the Board of Education, the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby accepts the February 2021 warrants 65 through 69 and the claims auditor report for the period of February 21 through 28, 2021, as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Sherman. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. On to Building, Grounds, and Safety Committee report.
So we met twice since our last meeting. We met on March 4th, and during for old business, we finalized the Capital 2021 outlay project that we were going to identify as being the main office in the junior senior high school, as discussed in the superintendent's report. We also reviewed the three current ongoing capital projects, the school-based health office in the elementary school, the Smart Bond Phase 2, and the 2019 capital project Phase one. The phase one project was going to have bids arriving on March 4th, and they're being open at 11, and I'll discuss that in the next meeting. We also discussed the capital project items versus EPC items, and we decided to have another meeting on March 9th to go over those in depth. In new business, we discussed the CCS school calendar, and the holding of the Board of Education meetings on the third Wednesday of each month. And we ended at 9:40. Our next meeting was going to be March 9th. So on March 9th, we met. There was no old business to discuss. New business was reviewing the 2019 capital project phase one bids and awarding those bids to the lowest bidder and selected alternatives. So I won't go over those in the minute or the minutes here because we're going to be doing action items on those awarded. We also made a determination that we would not move forward with an EPC at this point, that we'd look to do that in the future. After we do get through some of the project work for the 2019 capital project. So we're going to come back and revisit that at a later point. We also agreed that in July of 2021, that the committee will sit down with IBI Architects and Schoolhouse Construction to review how phase one is progressing cost-wise and to review updated cost estimates for the elementary school gymnasium project, which would be phase two. And in our next meeting for new business, we're going to be discussing, we can take off awarding plumbing because that's being awarded tonight. We're going to discuss phase two of the 2019 capital project. And then after hearing a few items tonight, I think we should add to our next business item the potential of using our school facilities for any after school classes. And so we can add that as an item to discuss. And our next meeting is April 1st.
Okay, any questions? I will make a comment that we do have a facilities use form. It may or may not include language dealing with being in a pandemic. So we may have to look at what that additional pandemic language and or insurance or whatever other things, because it's a fairly standard form.
Right.
And this is definitely not a standard time. So
I actually do have a question.
Sure. Marcy Birch, are you running the meeting on your laptop?
I'm not.
So I'm hold on a second. You're gonna look at Matt for a second. And I will run my computer around for questions and answers. Hold on.
Great. Just that you reminded me that I think in our opening plan, we forbid anyone coming into the school for any reason. So we would we have to modify that?
I would have to look at the specific language that's in the plan for that and see how specifically if it's written and if we have the flexibility to modify.
Okay.
Without modifying the mission.
Very good.
Okay. So then we have. We'll get this. We're going to need one of those cameras that follows the teachers around.
Right, exactly. Oh, I was just wondering, Matt, since you decided against the EPC part of it, and I know something's been put into that we're allowing us to then do other things as part of the phase one project. So I'm just wondering, is there sort of a list somewhere that details what we're actually doing in the phase one project now that the EPC has back in?
Yeah, so there are items that we were looking to put into an EPC that we can actually still do within the capital project.
Mm-hmm.
It's now that we have updated information about costs,
okay,
which we didn't have initially, we still have the ability to put them into the capital project.
Okay.
So there certainly is a use for an EPC. We just don't think it's for what we're looking at right now, that it might be something over and above our overall project as a separate energy performance contract.
And so this is a little bit more specific, but for example, I think at one point in time, the Clara Story windows and the renovation in the library in the high school were in the project, then they got taken out of a project and put sort of as a later phase. And then when EPC stuff happened, they got put back in as phase one. So for example, is that?
That's it. We made that a priority.
Okay.
So that's it. There are some things that we needed to make sure that were going to be completed because they were the main reasons why we were looking to do this project in the beginning. So the hard part is with increased costs, the reason why we split the project in half is so we can get as much done as we can now and then look at the gym as a second phase two. And then you know, there's a lot, it's going to be more, it sounds like it's going to be more than what we had originally approved. So we may have to have discussions about how we can actually get that second phase completed. But that clear story is absolutely in.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions? I'm looking forward to getting exercise.
Thanks.
Anyone else? All right, Matt, would you like to run through the resolutions here?
Sure, I'm not as fast as you are at these, but. So the first one, so I'll make a motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby award the 2019 Capital Improvements Project Contract Number 1, General Construction, to Murnane Building Contractors, 15 Wood Road, Whitesboro, New York, 13492, in the amount of $985,000.
Do we have a second? Second from Tony Scalisi. Any discussion? I'll ask a general question that will cover this and all the other pieces. Amy or anyone, can you go over the process that we use for those people who are following along at home that understand about low bid versus preferred bid or other language?
So it is a state law. It has to be the low bid. There isn't a really preferred. So the way these bids came in, there is the request for the project that we're looking at, and then there were alternatives that we could look at as well. And so the low bid was based on the project plus any of the alternatives that we had agreed upon that we thought we would be putting in. And I'll just give a quick example. One of them was site work, where we were looking to expand the soccer field length for Lambert 2, as we've called it before, which was a cost of $30,000 to dig into the hill to make the field a little longer. That was an alternative. We decided we didn't want to do that. For $30,000, we could put it in a different spot. So that bid actually was adjusted based on our bid for other site work and whether or not we did that or not, and we decided not to. So we would look at who had the overall lower bid.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or discussion comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
All right, so I'll make a motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby award the 2019 Capital Improvements Project Contract Number 2, Mechanical Construction to Family Dan's Mechanical LLC, 404 North Pearl Street, Albany, New York, 12207, in the amount of $72,600.
Do we have a second? Second from Wendy Kuber. Any discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
I'll make a motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby award the 2019 Capital Improvement Projects Contract Number 3, Electrical Construction to Schuler Haas Electric, 727 Innovation Way, Johnson City, New York, 13790, in the amount of $166,460.
Second from Ariel Ainsworth. Questions, discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
I'll make a motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby award the 2019 Capital Improvements Project Contract Number 4, Plumbing Construction to A. Trefferson and Sons, LLC, 204 Roundhouse Road, Oneonta, New York, 13820, in the amount of $104,800.
I have a question.
I'll second.
Second for discussion from Tony Scalisi. Go ahead.
Is there a minimum number of bids that we need to have
there? And make sure you repeat the question and your answer.
So I, No, I mean, so if there's one bid, then that's the one bid we accept. In the plumbing section, or for instance, there was two bids that came in on plumbing.
And I would interject that we could reject the bid if only one came in and felt we needed to. And just going back to his explanation earlier, once these bids came in, the architect goes back to each of the lowest bidders, make sure that they completely understood the specifications they were bidding on, just to confirm everything is in order. And then they made the recommendation that it's we should be awarded.
Any other questions? Thank you, Amy, for stepping in to add some clarification. Those of you who couldn't see over Matt's shoulder. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
All right, I'll make a motion be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby award the 2019 Capital Improvements Project Contract Number 5 Site Work Construction to Burrell's Excavating, Inc., 6146 County Road 32, Norwich, New York, 13815, in the amount of $675,800.
Second from Wendy Kuber. Any discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. And we're moving on to curriculum instruction.
Can I bring a question, or not a question, a clarification? Is there any of the work we know of which will commence this year?
Maybe yeah, I mean, I believe the majority of this is starting in June.
Okay. 28th, I think.
Yeah.
So for those of you at home, June 28th is the estimated start date. Staging will begin and everything so that the minute the students are done with the facility, we're ready to rock and roll like we have in other contracts and capital improvement projects.
And we're already working with Mr. Murphy to assure that staff in areas that are going to be have been notified and that plans have been drawn up for the removal of removal of equipment from those rooms.
Okay, good. Curriculum instruction, the next committee meeting will be on March 25th. Is there any new business or anything new to be added to that agenda for curriculum or instruction?
No, I think we're going to be going over this, the plan to bring 9 to 12 students back.
So the major agenda item will be the return to school. Okay, and next up, we're going to deliver a computer over to Marcy Birch for personnel and recruitment.
Thank you for everybody's patience on this capital project. And it's just nice to see that we'll be able to get stuff done, started in
Thank you, Mr. Sherman, for thanking us for patience and patience all around with everyone involved with this, because it has been a process anyway, and then the pandemic and bids and changes and things. So now on to personnel and recruitment.
Very good. Do I have to do anything on this computer?
No, you're good.
Okay. All right, we met March 11th. Old business, we discussed potential future hiring needs. Ms. Sprouse reviewed the list of hiring needs, requested feedback regarding procedural questions for an interim principal search, and informed the committee of upcoming interviews for posted positions. Ms. Sprouse requested the Board of Education member participate in the interview committee meetings going forward and reiterated what the past interim superintendent had recommended. As both stated, this is standard operating procedure in many districts. Committee members suggested rotating members of the Board of Education participating going forward, and that we be mindful of district-wide initiatives and formalized goals, and that we listen. We continued board-level discussion an overview of administrative structure. Ms. Sprouse informed the committee of plans to utilize BOCES to assist
with many aspects of curriculum, professional development, and other services as needed. Building level principals will oversee the needs in their buildings. New business, resignations. The committee reviewed two resignations and discussed plans to fill positions as needed. Family Medical Leave Act request, we reviewed recruiting needs and positions. We discussed streamlining the leave of absence request and sabbatical request policies. The committee reviewed current policy last formalized in 2005. Ms. Sprouse will address potential updates. Extracurricular and athletic appointments. Ms. Sprouse discussed the need to hire a videographer for volleyball. And we have some action items for this evening.
Go ahead.
All right, I have to find them. Here they are. Wait a minute. What am I doing here?
If you'd like, I can start with the
first. Yeah, could you start? Yep.
That's fine. I'll make a motion, be it resolved that the Board of Education, just making sure I'm not on mute. Be resolved that the Board of Education, the Cooperstown Central School District, hereby accepts the resignation for the purpose of retirement of Patricia Hogan, 12-month secretary, effective August 27th, 2021. Okay. Second from Ms. Spencer. Any questions or discussion? And thanks for her dedication to this school district over many years.
Absolutely.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. That motion carries. Have you pulled up the next one?
You might need to pull the next one up.
I will do that. I'll make a motion, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby accepts the resignation of Maureen Sherman, licensed teaching assistant, effective March 19th, 2021.
Any second.
Second from Marcy Birch. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I guess I will.
Matt Sherman will abstain from this vote. That motion carries 6-0 and 1 abstention.
Very good. And congratulations to Maureen on her new opportunity. Long-term teacher aide appointment. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby appoints Vera Sisnowski as a long-term substitute teacher aide for the period of March 18th, 2021 through on or about June 7th, 2021, to be paid an hourly rate of, and my thing is $16.38 for hours worked.
Second from Wendy Kuber. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries.
All right. And internal claims auditor appointment. Be resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby appoints Jackie Savoy. Oh, I lost it again. Sorry. It keeps coming in and out. Can you finish that for me?
Sure. Let me pull that up too. Jackie Savoy is internal claims auditor for the period of March 29th, 2021 through June 30th, 2021 to be paid at a current hourly rate of $25.15 for hours worked. Is that your motion?
Yes.
That is the motion by Marcy Birch. Second from Gillian Spencer. Any questions or discussion?
Is this replacing Mr. Fountain?
Yes.
Very good.
Whose resignation we received last meeting. Okay. Any further questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. That motion carries.
And that is it on our agenda. And our next meeting is March 25th. At 7:30 a.m.
Okay. And we will have public relations policy and extracurricular. So we'll move the device around.
Thank you.
You can look at the ceiling for a second, or hopefully my voice will carry enough to set this in. And that will be Muriel Ainsworth.
Okay.
Okay, so PR and policy met March 8th. Present were myself, Marcy Birch, Wendy Kuber, and Ms. Frost. In old business, we welcomed our new superintendent. She provided us with an extracurricular and athletic update. And to date, those programs have been running smoothly and the live streaming of games has been going very well and been well received. We also talked about ideas for updating the administrative structure and also providing support for our administrators, including professional development throughout the year. We spent much of our time on policy. We have three policies that we are have motions for this evening. The first one is new policy 3421 and 3421F, Title IX and sex discrimination. This was created due to federal changes to Title IX. It defines discrimination, including sex discrimination, and defines timelines for the grievance process. This is recommended for first reading. So this policy basically came to us from our policy service. What we did was put in timelines that made sense for our district based on our other policies for investigation, for filing of grievances, for outcomes, things like that, and also who would be the point people for the policy. Second one we discussed was new policy 5633, gender neutral single occupancy bathrooms. That was developed in response to new education law section 409M, which becomes effective March 23rd, 2021. It requires that we have a policy that all single occupancy bathrooms are designated as gender neutral and appropriate signage is present. We recommend this for first reading and adoption. It's a very short and simple policy. Essentially, this is what we're already doing, but we just need to have the correct signage to make sure that it's obvious to everyone. We discussed revised policy 3420, non-discrimination and anti-harassment in the district. It was revised based on federal and state revisions to the anti-harassment laws relating to Title IX. The only differences here from the old policy is an overview and definition of terms was added. The policy was revised for clarity and consistency, and a section was added for civil rights compliance officers, which is the superintendent and the principals. We recommend this for first reading and adoption as well. New business, as discussed, we just looked at the calendar, proposed board meeting dates, communication from the state regarding in-person learning and COVID testing and athletics participation and the communicable disease pandemic plan, which is on our agenda coming up. Our next meeting will be April 12th at 8:15. We will finalize the new policy, continue to monitor athletics and extracurriculars, and I'm sure whatever else comes up between now and then.
Okay, any questions on that?
I have one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So that is the first day back after spring break when I think there is anticipation of wanting to bring all the kids 9 through 12 back.
Correct.
Would it maybe be beneficial to look at adjusting that meeting?
That is completely fine with me. So we can send an email and see if we want to move that, just because you're right. If we have additional students in the building, maybe you don't want to be stuck in a meeting. Maybe you want to make sure that things are running smoothly.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, we can certainly adjust that date.
Any other questions or discussion?
Okay.
You have some policies.
I do. Make a motion, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby accept amendments to 3421, Title IX, and sex discrimination for first reading.
Second from Wendy Kuber. Any questions or discussion? I'll make a kind of a blanket piece. In reviewing some of these, I got somewhat, not confused, but it all kind of flowed together as to what was the policy, what was the regulation, what was the form to being used. I just want to make sure that as we're approving policies, that we're not putting people's titles, but not their names, into any form or, I guess, any regulation at the very least. Forms may be changed on the whim of the administration, but just making sure that we don't have names, because at the rate that we go through policies and review them and correct them, if we haven't seen it since 2005, there's been some change. So just to make sure that as we do any of these policies, we want to make sure that titles rather than names are in there. So
sure.
Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
Okay, I make a motion be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby accept policy 5633, gender neutral single occupancy bathrooms, for first reading and adoption.
Second.
Second from Marcy Birch. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
I make a motion be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, does hereby accept policy 3420, non-discrimination and anti-harassment in the district, for first reading and adoption.
Second from Gillian Spencer. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. And we're on to other board matters, which I will handle.
Thank you.
And we can just make sure we turn off the sound and video. There we go. I'll make a motion, be it resolved, the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby approves the recommendation of the Committee on Special Education as listed in the Board Action Sheet for the meeting date February 26th, 2021.
Second.
Second from Marcy Birch. Questions, discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. I'll make a motion, be it resolved, the Board of Education, the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of School, hereby adopts the Communicable Disease Pandemic Plan to meet the new requirements of New York State Education Law Section 2801A and Labor Law Section 27C.
Second.
Second from Mariel Ainsworth. Any questions or discussion? Can't believe we're at a point where we need to have one of these.
What, can you just...
There is a copy in the public content of this. Okay. It's very generic that we will consult with the appropriate bodies to do the appropriate thing at the appropriate time.
Right.
And it contains titles of positions rather than people. So any questions or discussion further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries. And I want to thank people for continuing to do the thumbs up or the raise your hand, because it helps me to scan around to make sure that that's still happening. We have the 2021-22 school calendar. I'll make a motion, be it resolved, that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby adopts the proposed 2021-22 school calendar. Second from Gillian. Any questions or discussion? Don't hold me to it, but it looks like the graduation exercises would be on what date in June?
26th.
The 26th of June? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then the various breaks are in there too, but all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries.
And will this be available to the public as a thumbs up?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then authorization of legal notice. I'll make a motion, be resolved, that the Board of Education, the Cooperstown Central School District, authorizes the district clerk to advertise the notice of budget hearing, budget vote, and election in the designated official newspaper.
Second.
Second from Mariel Ainsworth. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously. We are now on to the second round of public comment. Thank you very much for everyone who has stuck with us to the end. We have 17 attendees. If you raise your hand virtually or otherwise put into the chat that you'd like to be called upon, we can promote you. We have one hand up, and we have Veronica Picorni. You'll have to unmute yourself. There you go.
Well, I just want to
hold on just a second. I have to unmute here so you could, so we can hear you. So hold on. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to thank everybody for your time, and we appreciate that you are listening to our needs, and especially to the part of the childcare and after school childcare. And thank you for your time again.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, I will move into board president's comments. We do have the notice. We have a lot of information to at least a start for the budget. It's a very good start. I think we're in a very good place as far as the information goes. Very well presented, put together. If you haven't already picked up your packet as a board member, the three ring binders are available to do that. And I will remind people, I think we've already said it, but there are petitions to be picked up. There is new guidance from New York State as to how many signatures you need. It is more than 25 than usual, is fewer than 30. It's somewhere in that range. It's 25 still. Okay, it's 25 still because we have not reached the 2% threshold. So it's still 25 names or signatories to go on that. And we have not received any other guidance or pandemic guidance as to running the school election. But we do have, this is one of those years that there are three of the seven of us who are, the seat is available for election. I have no further comments as president. So with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll say, Wendy raised her hand. So will you move to adjourn Wendy Cuber and second from Mariella Ainsworth? Any questions or discussion?
Just updates on any searches for schools?
That is a very good question. So we'll turn to you. We're currently in the motion to adjourn.
Oh, okay.
So let's do this. Will you rescind your motion to adjourn for now? And I will return us back to the part of the agenda where we're in president's comments, and I'll turn to our superintendent and say, are there any updates for the principal search, which we did discuss a little bit in committee?
Yes and no. I did reach out, as I did share in committee. I have reached out. There are two things that need to happen. We're currently looking for an interim principal to cover until the end of the school year, and we are also looking for, obviously, a full-time principal. We will be advertising for the full-time principal position ASAP. Wendy and I have been speaking about it, and the options, which are all new to me, of how we can advertise for an administrative position such as this and reach a wide body. So that is happening. As far as the interim principal, this has been a learning and challenging experience. I have the names of about four individuals that have been given to me. That has come after reaching out to BOCES, all of the 19 district superintendents in the area, speaking with Mrs. Wang, speaking with members of the board. I have reached out to three of those individuals. The only three that I have telephone numbers for, I am still waiting for contact information on the other one, and I hope to hear back from some of those individuals so that we can make a decision on an interim principal for the remainder of the school year. So that is where we are.
Thank you.
And I apologize, that was in my notes to bring up, and I completely glossed over a very important piece, so I apologize.
It was in my notes too, and I didn't check it off, so
right. Okay, now I will entertain a motion to adjourn by Wendy Kuber and second from Mariel Ainsworth. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. That motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.